Back in business. Okay, this week is Parshas Kisavai. Parshas Kisavai is a scary parsha. We have the Teichacha. Teichacha, how many psukim are there in the Teichacha? The Teichacha has 53, I think.
Oh, you mean in the...
53 psukim. The curse, how many curses are there? There are 98 curses. But how many psukim? Gan psukim, 53 psukim corresponding to the 53 parashios of the Torah. How many psukim are there in the Torah of parashas Bichlokosai? 32. So I saw in the Oitze Pilois, it's a big yomtiv for Klal Yisrael. He put out now the fifth volume by Zicherman. He put out a volume on Devarim. And he recites a very interesting. Someone asked one of the Gedolei Yisrael, why is it that in Parshas there's no nechama? In the Teichacha of Parshas Kisavai, there is no nechama. There's just harshness. There is whereas in the Teichacha of Parshas Bichlokosai, you have at the end a few psukim v'zocharti esprisi Avram, esprisi Yitzchak, esprisi Yaakov. There are a few psukim in the Parsha of the Torahs Kohanim where there is nechama. So why is there no nechama in the Teichacha of Kisavai? So the answer he cites this in the name of Elio Hanavi. It's a maisa where a person, he asked this question, and the person thereof didn't know. So Elio Hanavi said, I'll come, I'll tell you Sisrei Torah. And the answer is, because the Teichacha Parshas Bichlokosai was fulfilled in the time of the Bayis Rishon. And the Teichacha, Mordechai, good morning. And the Teichacha of the Bayis of Parashas Kisavai was fulfilled in the time of the Bayis Sheni. And time of the Bayis Rishon, the Averis of Klal Yisrael were revealed. Were hidden. They were hidden. They were embarrassed of their Averis. Avoy de Zorgi Lerai Shvi Chastamim. Even though they committed the worst Averis, but they did these Averis behind closed doors. It's a very interesting idea. I don't think I ever heard this idea. That the Averis that led to the Churban Bayis Rishon were done behind closed doors. Whereas the Averis that they did in the time of the Bayis Sheni, they were different Averis, Sinas Chinam. And the Gemara does really list a whole long list of other Averos that contributed to Sinas Chinam. But those Averos were done publicly. There was no shame. So,
Gemara says that because it was revealed, the Bayis Rishon, that's why it was revealed the case. And how does that stem with what we're learning now?
Because it was... The Averois were Avoy the Zorig Yelerai Shrichas. Okay, that's a different. You think it was revealed, it was Goloi. So that focus on Avoy the Zorig Yelerai Shrichas. But I think what it means is those are Averois which, when they were done, it's an Aver that you can define. But where were the Averois done? You're saying a very good point, which has to be explained. The Averois were done privately. The Avera was done in a private location, but the Avera itself is something that you can, it's tangible. They worshipped an idol, they bowed down to an idol. They did a gilerayis, shvichas tamim. They were embarrassed of it, Therefore, the Golos was revealed. It would be in exactly seven. The Golos was only going to be exactly 70 years. The primary Avera by Yesheni was in the heart. It was in the heart. So there was no substance to the root of the Avera. But even though it was they weren't embarrassed that they hate someone. It's a very delicate point. They did the Avera in their heart. So the fact that it's an aver that's in the heart, it's abstract. And when they realized that in their heart they hate someone, good. It's right. I want to hate him.
You think you're right.
Exactly. I didn't prepare for this. This is a very good point you're making. Okay, this, I mean, the main point over here is that there are two very different types of teichacha. The teichacha, in parashas b'chukosai is 32 psukim. Now, again, this is all Sisrei Torah. 32 in the world of Kabbalah represents Sisrei Torah. There's something in Kabbalah called the Lamed Beis Shevilin. There are 32 roads, paths to, I don't know, this is the Kabbalistic concepts. The number Nun Gimel, the number Gan, the number Nun Gimel it represents, there are 53 parashiyos in the Torah. The truth is there are 54. In our calculator, there are 54. But the word Gan Parash is a very popular concept which represents the revelation of the Torah. We divide the Torah into, let's just take the number now for a second, we'll ignore the fact that it's only 54, 53 parashiyos. There are 53 psukim this week in the Teichacha. 53 psukim. Because Klal Yisrael violated the entire Torah Begoli. There was no shame. You go read the Parashas Bereishis, Parashas Noach, you go to shul on Shabbos, they read Parashas Bereishis. The rabbi says, "Nu, what's the Musa Haskel of Parashas Bereishis? A, B, C, D. You come Parashas Noach, "Nu, what is the Musa Haskel we read? When you read the Torah on Shabbos, you read what it says. "Nu, what's the Musa Haskel?" I don't care. The Torah that is divided into 53 parts, which we go through the entire year, and is read publicly to tell clients, well, this is what you got to do, this is how you behave. We're not getting involved in all the nuances, in the Sisrei Torah, the Zoyars, and the complexities. Just read the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Le-Sirtzach. The Pasuk says, Le-Sigzol. The Pasuk says, Le-Sasik V'L-Reyacha. The Pasuk says, Nu, does anyone have anything? How come the day after we read Le-Sigzol, you go out and you do whatever you do? You don't care what it says in the open Torah? There's no nechama for that. In order to be deserving of nechama, then at least have some shame. If you have some shame, you know, nechama is something which is in the heart. Nechama is something which is psychological. It's a frame of mind. If when you do an avera, there is a shame in your mind, then you deserve nechama. The teicha of Parashas B'chukosai has embedded within it actual words of nechama. The teichacha of Parashas Kisavo, okay, Chazal say every single word is nechama, you know, there's a bracha hidden there, but it's not explicit. It's not explicit. Openly, it's all musr, and it does not end off on a positive note. Because, this is what it says, is because there are, look at the number of psukim. There's a significance in the number 53. 53 represent the parashiyos of the Torah. There are 53 parashiyos in the Torah. Every Shabbos you come to shul, you select 1/53 of the Torah and you focus on it. And what did you do? You rejected it. This is not for me. What?
Where are you getting 53 from?
There are 53 psukim this week in Parashat, in the Teichacha. From the beginning of the Teichacha to the end of the Teichacha, the Baal Kriya will read 53 psukim. Klolos. There are 98 curses. Some psukim, they double up. Some psukim have multiple klolos. Okay, it's like the Aseres, Yankee. The Aseres Hadibros. The Aseres Hadibros, there are 10 dibros. How many commandments are there on the Aseres Hadibros? A lot more than 10. Okay, I'm saying even 22. There's a lot more than 10 commandments. So to call the 10 commandments is not correct. There are 10 statements. Hashem, there are 10 utterances. Well, no, there are 10 statements. And in those 10 things, so it's true, there are 98 curses. But the 98 curses are expressed in 53 psukim. The number 53 is a sacred number. The Chazal have a tradition that in the Torah, we divide the Torah into Gan, like Gan Eden, Gan Parshios. Although in our Chumashim, the Torah is divided into 54, it's an old question. How do you reconcile the words of Chazal that said there are 54 parashiyos with 53 parashiyos with the fact there are 54 parashiyos? Let's put that aside. There are many, many answers to that question. Let's put that aside for right now. But the number 53 represents the Torah. It represents the division, the Torah being divided throughout the year. It is our custom to divide the Torah and go through the Torah. There's a powerful musar. You know, the Chazal say, why do we learn Parashas B'chukosai now? Tichle Shana V'Kililoyseha. We're now coming to the end of the year. It's 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. There are two Shabbosos. So in case it is, there are unpleasant things that we live with, and it's a mashal. If there is any, all of the unpleasant things that we suffer from are all rooted in the Teichacha, let it be over with. Tichle Shana V'Kililoyseha. Just as the year is coming to an end, all of the unpleasant things in life which are rooted in the Teichacha, get rid of it. Let it expire and come to an end just as the year comes to an end. We're laying the Teichacha at the end of the year, but there's another hidden message here, according to what this Sefer Otzer Plois is bringing down. And that is, in the Teichacha, it's not just the end of the year. It is a summary of the year. Every single Shabbos of the year, beginning of the year, we come to Shul and we lane a section. We lane 1/53 of the Torah. And did we listen to what it said in the Torah? Did we listen? You come to Shul and the Baal Kriya lanes, and the only thing we focus on is how many mistakes he made, and if he was loud enough, and the rabbi takes something in the parsha, a lesson, and he gives Musar, and we listen, we don't, well, whatever, this and that. And the week goes by, we reject, this Musa, we reject it. And then the next week, the scene repeats itself. And here we are at the end of the year, and Hashem is telling to us, here we are. Tichle Shana V'Kililoyseha. You're going to lane the Teichacha 54 psukim. Each pasuk represents 1 week of the year. This week is considered to be the end of the year. It's the last week, 2 weeks before. Why? We don't want to mamish put the parish of the very, very last week, right, juxtaposed to Rosh Hashanah. That's not a good simin. Or there's another really better answer, is because already next Shabbos is already the new year. The Shabbos before is the intro to what comes. This Shabbos, to a very large degree, is the end. This Shabbos, we focus on the past. We say goodbye to Tov Shin Pei Beis this Shabbos. We say goodbye. Chazal say this, Tichle Shana V'Kililoyseha, let the year end with its curses. Oh, but there's another Shabbos. Next week there's another Shabbos. No, next week is the intro to the next year. The focus of next week is Bruchim Haboim. Bruchim Haboim Tov Shin Pei Gimel. That's the theme of next Shabbos. This Shabbos, the theme of this Shabbos is Tseischem L'Sholem, Tov Shin Pei Beis. Say Eschem L'Sholem. And if there's any unpleasantness that we live with, Tichle Shana V'Kililoyseha. Goodbye, good riddance. What's the Musar? Well, when you say goodbye to all the Klalas, why don't you take to heart the insult that you have given every Shabbos of the year? Every Shabbos of the year, you read a parsha. This Musar. Did you listen? Did you obey? Did you learn the lessons of Adam and Chava, the Chet Eitz Hadas? Did you learn the lessons of Cain and Hevel? Did you learn the lessons of all the events of Parshas Bereishis? Did you learn the lessons, all the things that it says there? They began Avodah Zarah, v'chulu v'chulu. When it comes to Parshas Noach, you learn the lessons of Tishochei Soaretz, Hashem Chomos. Did you learn all these lessons? Did you learn the lessons Migdal Bavel, Lech Lecha? Did you learn the lessons of what happened over the answer is no, we did not. That's the problem. It's not a coincidence that we're laning the Teichacha on the last Shabbos of the year to say goodbye to Tov Shin Pei Beis, and the Teichacha has exactly 53 psukim. Each pasuk corresponds to a year, and this Musar, do teshuva before next Shabbos when you welcome in Tov Shin Pei Gimel. Okay, that's one idea. Now, the parasha also, now here, this is a very important musar. The parasha also begins, if Chazal told us without any doubt about it, that this Shabbos is the goodbye. Tseischem l'sholem tov shin pei beis. Tich, you can't deny tich l'shana v'kil l'seha. Chazal made that statement. It's what should our attitude be? Well, guess what? The Torah is not the only thing that we learn. There are more things that we learn, other things. The opening of the parasha is very significant. we learn the mitzvah of Bikurim. What is the mitzvah of Bikurim? Rashi says right in the very beginning, the Amarta Elof. You take the basket, you come to the Kohen, you take your first fruits, Rashi, one of the most famous Rashis in the entire Torah. Okay, one of the most famous Rashi, the Amar Tilov, She'enecha Kofui Toiva. You're not ungrateful. This is a critical lesson for specifically Parshas Kisavoy, the last Shabbos of the year. If we would read this, Chanukah time, okay, you say Halal V'Hoida, you'd read this in the middle of the winter, in the middle of the summer, okay, nice lesson. It's a nice lesson, it's a very important principle, but everything is timing. Timing, location, place, time, everything needs to have a setting. The end of the year, it's very, very common. It's human nature. It's built into the DNA of the human condition. When you come to the end of the year, you look back, no, this year was an abysmal failure. I didn't make as much as I wanted. I wanted to make at least triple. I wanted to be successful, and I wanted to learn to conquer Shas. I wanted to make money. I wanted to marry off my children. There's so many things I really put my head to and I set out to accomplish, and I'm very disappointed. The year has passed, I have not accomplished even a fraction of what I should have achieved. There's so many things to do, and I really, when the last year, when Tavshin Pei Beis began, I really had a positive attitude that I'm really not going to waste time. I'm going to come be them from the Asar Rishonim to Shachris every day, and v'chulu v'chulu. It just didn't work out. And I'm bitter. Not mamish, a little tinge of disappointment. The attitude of the last week is, be grateful to Hashem for what you have. Millions and billions of people have a lot less than what you have. And don't come to the end of the year with a sour attitude, what could have been, what should have been, and the disappointments of all the people who passed away, and all the tzaris and all the problems. Look at the bracha you have. You have what to eat. You're healthy. You have children. You have a plan going forward. You learned something. You accomplished something. Focus on the bracha, the infinite bracha that Hashem has given you. Don't come on the last Shabbos of the year like a crybaby, like a child. Oh, I only made $100,000. I thought by now I'd be making $1 million a year. Oh, I only married off one child. I have two more to go. Don't come at the end of the year with an attitude of complaint, bitterness, kindness. This is the last week of the year. This is the send-off. This Shabbos is Tseischem L'Sholoim, Tov Shin Pei Beis. We put the year, the time, in the bank. We put the accomplishments, the achievements, we summarize. And all of the unpleasant things that happened, Tich L'Shona V'Kilu Lo'Yisecha, they're gone. But what is your attitude? That the Torah is the end of the parasha. It's mamash the end of the parasha. The last Ali is just like, it's just a few psukim just summarizing, but what's the beginning of the parasha? Here you are. It's the time to say Tseischem L'Sholom. Be grateful. Be grateful. She'enecha kafui toiva. Be grateful for every little thing. It's not a coincidence that this parasha is right here in front of us in Parashas Kisei. Chazal warned they could have included this in Parashas Kisei. They could have arranged things. The Torah could have put things. Okay, the Torah could have put things in a different location. The fact that it's here is a very powerful mussar, how to say goodbye to Tav Shin Pei Beis. Ribono Shel Olam, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. She'enecha kofui toiva. Every mashahu that you've given me, I appreciate. Look what it says. Look what it says in the Teichacha. Tachas asher lo yavadita es Hashem elokecha besimcha uvituv levav meiroiv koil. Every person, every situation can see that he has roiv, meiroiv koil. And on that roiv toiv that he has, that millions and billions of people don't have anything near that, how could you be kofi toiv? How could you only come with a complaint? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? This problem, that problem. Okay, there are problems. We'll take care of that. Tich leshanu v'kil lo isecha. But what's critical, what comes first and foremost is the amarta elav she'enicha kofu toiva. Okay, another idea, short idea. Arami oiveravi. Who is the Arami? So the truth is, look in the Rishonim, there are many, many Perushim. We, Rashi, selects one member of the cast. We have a whole cast of characters of evildoers in this world. And Rashi selects Lavan.
Wow.
Lavan. In the Haggadah, right? The Haggadah. This is the beginning of the Haggadah. You sit the Haggadah, you read these psukim in the Haggadah, you dash the psukim in the Haggadah. And, oh, Arami, Oyved, where in the world do we see that Arami, the Lavan, BK, Shlaker, Sako, what? You want to go talk about Nimrod? You want to go talk about Esav? Lavan is nowhere.
Does have to do with
Aram? So you'll figure it out. Don't worry. Get a good darshan. He'll figure it out. He'll figure it out for you. He'll make a gematria. He'll work backwards. Lavan is not on anyone's short list. He's not on anyone's short list to be the Arami Oyved Avi. What?
Who's the Arami?
We have many enemies. We have many devil. You don't learn David. David doesn't.
Yeah, but no one else is called
an Arami.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Fine. So you want? All right. Okay. That's what it says. That's the bottom line. Look. You look in the Rishonim. Yeah. You look in the Rishonim. They. Not everyone says it was Lavan. We brainwashed. We learn and Pesach say there. Rashi says you cannot go with Rashi. Rashi selected. Rashi in front of the many options. And Rashi said, Arami Oyved Avi. Why? What's the pshat? So I think the pshat is very, it's very important pshat. What was Lavan's legacy? Money. There was no one in the world who loved Gashmias. No one loved Gashmias more than Lavan. By him, everything from start to end, everything about Lavan. What happened? The first time Lavan met Yaakov.
Bilam.
What?
Bilam.
Wanted money, he wanted covet. Bilam wanted covet. Balak? What? Bilam wanted covet. Ki chabed achabetcha. Bilam loved covet, not money. He wanted money.
Yeah, that's just the fringe benefit.
The money was the fringe benefit.
Yeah.
Lavan loved money for the sake of loving money. The first time, when did he see money the first time? When Eliezer came to make a shidduch with Rivka. And Eliezer came with camels, gemalim, the kol tov, he's going to give over all of the wealth. This was a dream come true. You never, like you had the Powerball.
He hit the lot of the Powerball.
He won, like, wow, look at this, my sister. The Avram was the richest man in the world. And he comes with 10 camels, the contract, he got it all. And then what happened? What happened? This was a setup. He just set him up because the next time when he came, when Yaakov came, where's the money? Where's the money? He came in shmatis. Maybe he has some diamonds in his mouth. So he kisses him. He puts his lips inside his mouth to sniff. Maybe there's some diamonds. They didn't have x-ray machines those days, right? Dentist, what would you do? You wouldn't go, you would say, come sit down on my chair, we'll take x-rays. Maybe there are some diamonds in your teeth. you wouldn't go open up his mouth and kiss. Let me check your teeth. Say, ah, let's see what we got in the mouth over here. He kissed him, right? He goes and then he licks inside. Ugh, what's going on over here? Some sugar? Yeah. Money. And then he says to Yaakov, you're gonna marry my daughter? Should you live? I forgot the exact pesukim. Rabbi Yossi went downstairs to give the shir. Chinam, you're gonna work. You're gonna sit there for nothing. You go to work. You're not gonna sit in koil here. There's no koil in my place. You go to work. Money, and he put him to work for 14 years. The hechlif esmaskurti aseres moinim. That says it all. He changed my wages. He tried to manipulate me. Money, 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 money. It's all about money. We come over here, this Parshki Sava, we finally reach our final destination. The land that Zovas Chola Vudvash. There is no place in the world that has Gashmis like Eretz, like Eretz. Those who are laughing understand, but those are like Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the land that the whole world wants. It says that the Chazal, that every king in the world had a summer home in Eretz Yisrael. It is the land Asher Zovas Cholav Udvash. And here you come, Ki Savoyal Eretz, and now you have the fruits. Only in Eretz Yisrael can you have every single one of the Shiva Saminim. Every land, you know, there are certain things you can grow. You don't see palm trees in New York City. Do you ever see a palm tree in New York City?
No.
A palm tree? Never. I never saw a palm tree growing in New York City. Why not? There are no dates in New York City?
No. Okay.
No.
A shir crisis.
Did you ever see a palm tree? Every land can only produce. What? Palm trees? Natural palm. They're probably the artificial.
No, real palm trees.
Yeah, they artificially. They had earth and they had weather. They monitored. They manipulated the temperature indoors. Yeah, they manipulated everything in order that they can grow, but naturally there's no such thing. Every country can grow a limited number of fruits and vegetables as assets. Eretz, Chazal tell us that Eretz Yisrael is the only place in the world where there is everything. Everything is there. Eretz Zavas Cholvash. You've reached the ultimate place of Gashmias. And now you've been successful. You're successful. V'lokachta mereshes. Call pri choadama, the first fruits, asher tovi mi artscha, asher Hashem ulkecha noisein loch v'samto v'atene, and you come to the koyein, you're basically bringing the gashmias. When you come to bring the gashmias, the person that you have to focus on, here, everybody say, the person you have to focus on, and you have to reject, is not Esav, not Bilam, the nisoyon that you're dealing with when you bring Bikurim is the Nisoyin of Lavan. Every one of our enemies has their unique flavor. Esav is a Ratzeach. Yishmael, Shetufei Zima. Okay, they have a lust for Nashim. It's a problem. Well, Klal Yishol doesn't have a problem with Nashim. Human beings, okay? Everyone has the Yetzirah. Avodah Zarah, the whole world, the Klal Yishol didn't worship Avodah Zarah. They knew how to do it better than anyone else, okay? Look at the Sefer Melachim. Boy, did they learn how to do Avodah Zarah better than anyone else. That's not the Nisoya now. It's a problem. Avodah Zarah is a problem. Gilei Rais is a problem. Shvich HaStamim is a problem. Everything is a problem. There are a lot of problems. COVID? Who doesn't like COVID? COVID is probably the biggest problem in the world. COVID, everything is about COVID, COVID. All the fighting in the world is about COVID. So we go and you write, Bilam, you should come, you should come there. Bilam tried to curse us. Baruch Hashem, you came to the rescue, Hashem. Hashem, you saved us. You saved us from Bilam, because Bilam tried to curse us. Esav tried to kill us. Baruch Hashem, you tried to kill Yaakov. Baruch Hashem, you saved us from Esav. You can go down the list. Avimelech, he took Sarah. Avimelech and Paro, Shetufei Zima, a beautiful woman. They see Sarah Menu. Oh, he tried to kill us because Lot, Achazima. Hashem, Baruch Hashem, you saved us. None of the above. From all the cast of characters, we pick Lavan. Arami Oyvei Ravi. You know why? Because Lavan is the Nisoyan of Bikurim. You're coming to Eretz Yisrael, you've been successful, Hashem has given you the most beautiful land in the world, Eretz Zovas Choludvash, you're successful, you bring the coin, the Teneh, and you put it down, and you have to say to Hashem, all this Gashmias, it's worthless. I'm not going to fall into the trap of Lavan Harami. Yaakov Avinu spent 20 years with this Meshugana. This Meshugana, he tried to kill him. He tried to kill him over money. Everything was money, 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 money. You know, what we talk about this in Oldvart is you know, each one of the Imohis contributed something to Klal Yisrael. What did Sarah contribute? She was not going to do the whole Vart in itself, but what did Sarah contribute? She rejected Yishmael. What did Rivka contribute? She rejected Esav. What did Rachel and Leah contribute? They rejected Lavan. Yaakov Avinu took them to the field and said, you know, I want to get out of here. You want to come with me or not? And they said, what do we have from our father? What do we need this for? Let's get out of here. You reject your father? That's right. Our father is poison. Because our father is all about money. Nothing matters. Only thing that matters in life, money is not everything. It's the only thing. That was Lavan. You know what Rachel and Rivka contributed to Klal Yisrael? They rejected money. It's not all about money. That was their koyach. They rejected Lavan. Nochriyos anu. We're nochriyos. We don't want this. We don't want, what do we need from our father? What is everything? Money? We're with you, Yaakov. Let's get out. Let's distance ourselves from Lavan. The danger of getting swept up in the value of Gashmis for its own sake. You come to Eretz Yisrael, the land of Gashmis, and you have in your hand a basket of the best of the best. There's no fruit store in the world that has quality fruit. What you have in your basket, the best of the best, the creme de la creme, the best of the best. And what do? You put it down on the floor and you say, you see this Gashmis? It's worthless. Arami oyved avi. Because of Gashmis, just like Lavan. Lavan, he wanted to destroy my father, to destroy Klal Yisrael over a few dollars. Over a few dollars. What do you put on the floor? Lifnei Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. The Mizbech is a place of sacrifice. A place where you, and why the floor is not a nice thing to do. You put on the floor, V'inachtoi Lifnei, you put on the floor. On the floor? When you put food on the floor? That's not nice. You don't put food on the floor. Putting the basket on the floor in front of a makom, a mizbeach, is a place where you sacrifice, is a statement that the gashmias of what's in this basket, I'm not interested in. Thank you, Hashem, for the blessing, but the blessing is for a purpose. It's for a purpose. It's for a purpose to elevate this world. It's not a means to an end. It is not something that I cherish in its own right. I don't care. Money, I don't care. You need money to survive. Ein kemach, ein Torah. Make no mistake. There's no administrator in the world, the chief minister will be happy with this speech. Ein kemach, ein Torah. But when it gets to a point where, this is what I live for. I live for the Gashmias. You've now turned into Lavan Ho'arami. You're now putting your lips, your tongue into someone else's mouth to go see if you can find some gold teeth. You can find some gold teeth. This is detestable. Arami, it is specifically Arami, Oyved Avi, that we dwell upon when you bring the best of the best of Gashmias, because he is poison when it comes to Gashmias, and it is necessary to make that clear statement. I'm not going to fall into this trap. Okay, let's go to another idea now. I want to tell you an idea. I want to thank Rabbi Lezer for this idea, because one night this week, along with Lezer Bechavrusa, Rabbi Lezer Bachi Bechavrusa, Mayor didn't want to come. What can I say? Your machine didn't work. So we learned a very fascinating sugya of the Avonim. To erect, it says in the sixth parasha, you're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to the Yardin, and you're going to erect stones in the Yardin, and then you're going to take stones and you're going to write upon the stones Kol HaTorah Kula, and you're going to set them up in Har Evel. Okay, the psukim are extremely complex and vague, to say the least. Okay, what Rashi says is very, very mysterious, I actually have laser the Sifsei Zikanin basically says every single thing that we learned together from that Sefer Rashi Kipshutai. He says it out very, very beautifully, everything that we learned together, and explained in a nutshell what most of the Mefarshim understand what really happened, and Ikar Choser Min HaSefer. There is a whole aliyah in this week's parasha about stones. What to do with the stones? How many stones? Where to write? Where the stones are going to put up? Let me review just the basics according to the explanation of the Sifsei Zikanin, how he understands the psukim with the parish of Rashi, based upon what it says explicitly in Sefer Yehoshua and the Gemara in Masechta Sota. What I'm going to tell you now, you're going to look in the psukim and you're going to read the Rashi. You're going to see. You're going to say, "I don't know what I'm talking about." You're going to say, "I'm totally making up things," but I'm not. This is the way it is explained very clearly in the Sifsei Zikanim, and the background is Sefer Yehoshua and the Gemara Masechta Sota. What exactly happened? And there's a lot to be said about this. What happened was they were now going to cross the Yarden. Hashem says, when you cross the Yarden, when you're in the Yarden, I want you to find stones. 12 stones. Dig up. As you're crossing the Yarden, a miracle is going to happen. The Yarden is going to stop flowing. And that will give you the opportunity to cross into Eretz Yisrael. In the middle of the Yarden, I want you to set up 12 stones as a monument. Don't write one word on these stones. Don't do anything. Don't put Sid. Don't do anything. Just in the middle of the Yarden, I want you to erect 12 giant stones as a monument. A miracle happened here. It's interesting, there was no monument made when they crossed the Kriyas Yamsuf. Right? When they crossed the Yam, there was no monument made. They just crossed the Yam, Vizehu. When they crossed the Yarden, Hashem demanded in the middle of the Yarden, I want you to set up 12 gigantic stones. When the waters will once again flow again, I'm assuming the stones will, you know, stand higher than the river, and you'll see the monument. Okay, that's done. Next. Part two. When you cross after erecting 12 gigantic stones in the Yarden, I want you to select from the Yarden, the bed of the Yarden, another 12 stones, corresponding to the 12 tribes of Klal Yisrael. Take those stones with you and bring them to Har Evol. Bring them to Har Evol. And Har Evol, take those 12 stones and make a mizbeach. You take, according to one of the Mefarshim, the Chizkuni, you take Sid. The Sid is not meant to be smeared on the letters. Glue the stones together with Sid, cement. Build a mizbeach with those 12 stones. A mizbeach, 12 stones. Now, on the perimeter of the mizbeach, get out your chisel, or maybe get out your pen and paper, and I want you to etch into the mizbeach, the square structure that's made from 12 stones, Kol HaTorah Kula, which is a five-way machlokes, what exactly they wrote on the stones. Either they wrote Mamish Kol HaTorah Kula, or some say they wrote the Aseres HaDibros, some say they wrote Mishneh Torah, some say they wrote the Sefer HaChinuch, a list of the mitzvahs, a list of the Tayag mitzvahs. Okay, whatever it is, I want you to etch the Chosafta al Ho'avonim Kol HaTorah. What do you do next? You have a Mizbeach. This is a shocking thing to me. You have a Mizbeach that's made from 12 stones, and on the perimeter of the 12 stones, it's written Kol HaTorah Kula. And on this Mizbeach, I want you to offer sacrifices. Isn't that strange? We think of a Mizbeach, it's clean, it's white, the Chut HaSikra. No, the Mizbeach, on the perimeter of the Mizbeach, was written Kol HaTorah Kula. Kol HaTorah Kula. And on that Mizbeach, you bring karbonos. Blood on that Mizbeach. Okay, when you're finished, now, by the way, Har Evel was the place where all the curses were. The Levim, they stood in the middle, and they made the brachas to Har Grizim, and then they turned to Har Evel, they said all the klalos. after you're finished the whole ceremony of the brochois and the klolois on Har Evel, and you have there this mizbeach of 12 stones that has on it kol haTorah kula, upon which you've offered sacrifices, I want you now to disassemble. I want you to take out your tools and break it apart. Break apart the 12 stones which made up this mizbeach with the Torah written all over it. Break it up. Break it into little pieces. Break it up into 12 parts, at least 12 parts. Disassemble it. Put it on a wagon and bring it to your first location, the first location where the Shechina will rest in the land in Gilgal. Klal Yisrael stayed in Gilgal for how many years? 14 years. I want you to bring these stones to Gilgal, and I want you to reassemble the stones in Gilgal. Put it back together and reassemble them, and maybe also bring korbanos, and that's where the Mizbech will remain for the next 14 years. What happened afterwards? It doesn't say anywhere what happened to these stones. So let's review. The main part I want is the disassembling and the reassembling. But the way, what it says, the, again, we have an aliyah, maybe it's the third aliyah. I'm telling you the whole Torah, I don't think there's any parish in the whole Torah that is so vague and so abstract and so confusing like this week's parasha, the stones, the big stones. You look at Rashi, Rashi says something which doesn't seem to make any sense. And everyone right away says, Rashi, you don't know what's going on here. What does the psukim mean? Even what does the psukim mean? And everyone struggles, and it seems that the basic pshat is what it says in the Sifsei Zikanim, based upon what it says in Sefer Yoshua and the Gemara. Certainly, there's going to be other perushim to what this whole story is, but to review very quickly, they went to the Yarden, there was a miracle, the Yarden stopped flowing. In the Yarden, they dug up in the sea, in the river bed, 12 stones, and they erected a monument. Okay, done, finished. We're not coming back to that. While they were there, they selected another 12 stones. They put them on their back and they schlepped them out. And they brought these 12 stones that they schlepped out to Har Evol. In Har Evol, they got together, professionals, and they took these 12 stones and they made it into a mizbeach. They made it into a mizbeach, and they had to glue them together. L'chore, the sid was partially used to get them all stuck together, to glue them together. Then they brought in the big writers, the experts, and they chiseled on the perimeter of this mizbeach, kol ha-Torah kula, or the Aseres HaDibros, or Mishneh Torah, or Sefer HaChinuch. Maybe Sefer HaMitzvah, Sefer HaRamah, Machlokes, well, Sefer HaMitzvah, Sefer HaChinuch, on, that would be good to know, if it was the Rambam, right away you know what it was, all the mitzvahs. And then, offer sacrifices. And then is the clincher. What I want to focus on is, when you finish doing this, take out a chisel, and break it apart. Not so easy to disassemble stone. Okay, not so easy to go carefully after you glue 12 stones together and you write Kol HaTorah Kula to take it apart. You know, you're going to take it apart, you're going to damage it. It's not going to be the same thing. You go to try to take apart a building, piece brick by brick, ain't going to go. No, be very careful, break it apart. Break apart the 12 stones, load it up on your back or on your wagons, and bring these 12 stones to Gilgal and reassemble them.
This version is all Mitzvah Sefer,
right? Yes, every word that I said, b'liyotzim in haklal, every word that I said, and based upon what it says, b'feirish in Sefer Yoshua and the Gemara Masechta Sota. Check it out, I ain't making this up.
The reason why I say that, because somebody was just telling me, and I got to know about that, because he said something about a partial shaft and the shir, whatever. Did you hear it? You're not hearing it.
What? The shir of Her Shachta? No. No, I didn't hear the shir.
But he put down something that 4 years ago, archaeologists found a mizbeach with
Har Evel. Yeah.
No, but it can't be. According to Rashi.
That's what I'm saying. This doesn't.
No, does not stim.
And it says because there was a ramp, it shows that it was a mizbeach.
That's not a riot. They had the stokim, the Beit Tosim, they worship these mountains.
Yeah, yeah.
Har Griz and Har Evel.
But he says it wasn't a non Jewish mizbeach because it didn't have steps, it had a ramp.
From that time period, it's totally not a riot. The Shomer and the Dalim and Shomer. It is totally not a Raya. Okay, but and also, by the way, just as a disclaimer, I'm telling you one pshat. I'm telling you there are probably multiple Perushim as to exactly what this is what it says in the Sifsei Zekenim on the page of the Negros Gedolos, and what it says also, this is what it says there. And this basically they everyone, because this is really what it says in Sefer Yoshua. It's not making things up, because it says it's in Sefer Yoshua. This is what they did. They disassembled the Mizbeach on Har Evel. They disassembled it and they brought it to Har Gerizim and they reassembled it. Now, that's the story. What I want from this, I want to say a chiddush. What have the Inessens have done? They have reenacted Shviras Haluchos. When Hashem gave the Torah, there's always the big question. Why did Hashem give us the Torah on Har Sinai? Give us the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Hashem should take Klal Yisrael immediately into Eretz Yisrael. And when we're in Eretz Yisrael, Moshe will say, everyone wake up tomorrow morning, be on time. Hashem is giving you the Torah. And Hashem will come down from Har Sinai onto the Har Abayis and give us the Torah. Why did Hashem give us the Torah in the desert, in Sinai? Which mountain is Sinai of all the people trying to describe? Which mountain is Har Sinai? All these books and all this and that. Why? If the goal is to be Mekayim the Torah in Eretz Yisrael, give us the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Very popular question. And there are many answers. That's not my purpose over here. Many answers. Because Torah had to teach you, it's for everyone. Hefker. Okay, there are many answers. Hashem wanted to give us the Torah in Har Sinai, in the desert, for whatever the reason is. And then what happened? Tragedy. Moshe went back to Shemayim to finish up business, to finish up all the business. And what happened? Things did not go off well. And Shaviras HaLuchos. Moshe comes down, he shatters the Luchos. Hashem wants to destroy Klal Yisrael. Hashem then, Moshe pleads, okay, let's try again. Moshe, psolucha, shnei luchos avonim. Quarry, two stones. And bring it up to me. V'chosavti al haluchos. I'll write on the luchos. Es hadivorim asher kosavti. I'll rewrite it. I'll write it again. I'll do it again for you. This time you bring your luchos and we'll do it again. Shalom al Yisrael. Luchos shniyos. All of that happened in the desert. Why in the desert? Because it's important. Whatever the reasons, okay, that's a different shir, a different shmooze. Why the desert? But the goal is not to live in the desert. Jews don't live in the desert. Jews live in Eretz Yisrael. One cannot make a mistake and think, listen, we got the Torah in the desert. We got the Torah in America. When we come to Eretz Yisrael, it's all fun and games. Okay? It's all fun and games. The Ribbono Shel Olam is telling, I'm warning you people, you're going now into Eretz Yisrael. When you go into Eretz Yisrael, you bring with you into Eretz Yisrael the Torah. And we're going to do something that is symbolic, which is very powerful. When you come into Eretz Yisrael, we're going to be mekabel the Torah all over again. Kabbalah satorah, ba'ola, the brachos. The whole Klal Yisrael stood on these two mountains, Har Gerizim and Har Evel. The Levim stood. The Levim stood in the middle, in the valley. They turned their face to Har Gerizim. Baruch Asher Loi doesn't make a pesel or masecha. Blessed be the person that doesn't, is not masik gavul. Blessed the person of Hulu. And they turned to Har Evel. And Rashi, there's a whole discussion. Why does the Torah only record the curses? Why doesn't the Torah record the blessings? There's a lot of answers to that. But basically, the Olah, the Kabbalah of the Torah, a bris, is made with a curse. The Iker Kabbalah of the Torah was on Har Evel. Okay, everyone, look at the page, all the pages. The Torah records the curses. Oror Asher Yaseh Pestel Mas. Oror Asher does this. Oror. The curses. And the Mepharshim there on the Mepharshim said, why doesn't it say the blessings? Baruch. There are many answers, but the Iker answer is, this was a bris. And a bris is not a bris unless there are consequences. Unless there's a commitment. And commitment doesn't come through blessing. Commitment comes, you cross the red line, it's over. You're out. It was a Kabbalah Sabris. A Kabbalah Sabris is done through an Allah. And therefore, the Mizbeach that they built on Har Eval, where the curses are, they built the Mizbeach on Har Eval, explicit in the Pasuk, on Har Eval. On that Mizbeach, on the Mizbeach, you write the whole Torah. This is Kabbalah HaTorah all over again. A reenactment of, but instead of me writing it, instead of Vo'echtoiv al Haluchos, you do it. You do it. And we're going to be Mekabel Kol HaTorah Kula. And then you know what we're going to do now? We're going to redo Shviras Haluchos. You're going to take those, that Mizbeach upon which Kol HaTorah is written, upon which you offered sacrifices as an expression of the bris, and we're going to reenact Ulchol Hayod HaChazaka. What's the Yod HaChazaka? Zu Shviras HaLuchos. You're going to shatter the Luchos.
So what is the second bris?
What second bris? They when they came into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem told them, here now, finally, you have reached your destination. You have to be Mekabel Nochamol Kol HaTorah Kula on the land.
Did Moshe do this or Yeshua?
Yeshua did this. So they, what did they do? In essence, they reenacted Kabbalah HaTorah. And Yeshua brought them down the Luchos. And on the Luchos it says, Kol HaTorah Kula. And they offered sacrifice, just like they offered sacrifices, the Atzilei Ha'am, offered sacrifices. And now comes the biggest chiddush of them all. And now we're going to reenact Shviras HaLuchos. We're going to shatter the Luchos. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu came down and he shattered the Luchos, that's what we're going to do. We're going to take these 12 stones that you've glued together with Sid, upon which is written Kol HaTorah Kula, upon which you were Mekabel the Klolos, and which you offered sacrifices, and we're now going to go take a chisel and break them into little pieces.
Was there also in the yard? There was also there.
The yard they were done with. The yard
didn't.
No, there was no. There was only stones. There was no writing in the yard.
No chiseling.
That remained as a monument. A monument. Nothing more than that. A monument of the miracle. What?
They did it in Shivim L'Shainis, right? They did it in Mordovan language.
Be'er Heitev. According to Rashi, they were in 70 languages.
So they did it over here.
And Eval, they only wrote the Torah once. They only wrote the Torah on the stones once in Har Eval, on this Mizbeach of 12 stones. But the Chiddush is, after they were Mekabel the Torah, and they wrote the whole Torah B'Shlemus on the stones, you know what they did now? They shattered the stones. They broke the stones. And they transported the stones to where? To Gilgal. And what did they do in Gilgal? Luchos Shniyos. They reassembled them. They restored them. What's the Musa Haskel? Now, I don't know. I'm spooked out by this. But, I mean, there is... The fact is, the very last pasuk of the Torah tells us there's something very special about the Shviras HaLuchos. Because Ulechol Hayod HaChazaka, Ulechol Simchas Torah, Hayod HaChazaka, Rashi, Moshe's Yod HaChazaka was Shviras HaLuchos. Now, what that means, I don't know. But we'll have to leave for another time. But what it represents is There was a virtue, a very great element in being Mekabel the Torah and knowing how to deal with it to the degree of to break the Luchos. And then what did Moshe? You didn't stop there, Moshe. I broke it, I'm going to fix it. If I broke the Luchos, I'm going to fix it. And Moshe comes down with a second edition, even better. A second edition, to some degree. The whole Shiloh. It's not so possible to go say the Luchos Shniyos was like, you know, second class. No, some hold the second Luchos Shniyos is mildest the first and a half. Klal Yisrael is reenacting the whole story in the Holy Land from beginning to end. Because maybe someone will come along and will say, okay, we come back to Eretz Yisrael and we're going to new luchais. But there was a korban. There was a korban. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It's over. No, it's not. We already went through this in Eretz Yisrael. Just like in the Midbar, there were luchais and the luchais were shattered. And we got a second set of luchais. Even in Eretz Yisrael, it could happen that the luchais are shattered. So what? We'll fix them. We did fix them. Ma'isa avos simon labanim. We will mekabel kol ha-Torah kul on Har Eval, on these stones that had the whole Torah. We shattered them. And we transported them to a new location in Eretz Yisrael and Gilgal, and we reassembled them. And we made them sholem. This was a koyach to recognize that even in Eretz Yisrael, if you suffer defeat, you suffer a korban in Eretz Yisrael, it's okay. Sheva pamim yipol tzadik v'kam. The luchos will be healed. They will be restored, you will rebuild, and the Shechina will rest in Eretz Yisrael. I'm trying to suggest is that when they came, the whole story of the luchos, Hashem was saying, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, the first thing we have to remember is that Matan Torah was not in the desert. It was in the desert for privacy. It was in the desert to teach you certain lessons. But the goal of Matan Torah was that you observe the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. So to teach you that lesson, we're going to redo it all over again. We're going to reenact the whole Matan Torah when you come into Eretz Yisrael. And we're not just going to reenact the Luchos Rishonos. We're going to reenact the Luchos Shniyos. We're going to reenact the whole story because there are lessons of value in the Luchos Rishonos and there are lessons to learn from the Luchos Shniyos. Luchos V'Shivrei Luchos Munochos V'Arayin. There's a value on the Luchos Rishonos. There's enormous what to learn from the Luchos Rishonos. And there's what to learn from the Luchos Shniyos. When we come into Eretz Yisrael, we're going to reenact both. You have to seize and live with the Musar and the Milas of both Luchais in Eretz Yisrael. So we're going to reenact the whole story. We're going to be Makabel the Torah Ba'ola on Har Eval. We're going to build a Mizbech of Avonim, just like Moshe brought an Avonim from Shemayim. We're going to bring Avonim from the Yam, from the Yardeh, from the earth. Right? They brought Avon Moshe Valuchas Masi Elokim. We're going to now bring luchos from the Yam, and we're going to write Kol HaTorah Kula, just like on the Aseres HaDibros, everyone says was written Kol HaTorah Kula. The Aseres HaDibros is just a token. And then we're going to break them, and we're going to reassemble them. It says twice in Pasuk, V'sadato oisam basid l'chizkun, says the Sid, some of Farshim, the Midrashim, they say, you smear it on the letters to protect the letters or to copy the letters. The Chizkun says, what? The Pashup Shat Visadito Oisam Basid is plaster to glue the 12 stones together. Like cement. You have 12 stones. How do you make a Mizbeach? They have to be cemented together. If you cement them together, how do you take it apart? You have to shatter them. This is Shvirus Haluchos. Shvirus Haluchos. And then take more cement and reassemble them. Luchos Shniyos. This is what to learn from both in the land. Okay, Rabbi Sai, this should be a week of bracha, tichle, shana, v'kil, loiseha. There are tremendous, well, just a one line, a one-liner. The Haftorah, if you pay close attention to the Haftorah this week, you will see, the Haftorah is the antidote to the Teichacha. All of the klolos in the Teichacha are mamish, they're there, in reverse, in the Haftorah. Kumi oiri, kivo oireich. It's on the Haftorah this week, it's just uncanny, where the Haftorah is the reversal of the Teichacha. Shebi Zoicha, Kisholmu Yimei Evleich, V'Ameich Kulam Tzadikim, Lo'olam Yush Oretz, and the passage includes, the Mashiach will come, Neitze Matoai, Asha Esper, the Gula will come, Be'ita Achishem. Learn Teichusha, Mashiach will come soon. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you for coming and listening.
Good Shabbos.
Shabbos. Shabbos.